Stash number 17747, reel 52.
You were saying that when the farmer had dug up the bodies of the Germans, he took the boots before putting them into a cart.
That's right. They put the bodies side by side on the cart and then took their boots off and carted the poor Germans off to a cemetery. It's something I had never in my nightmares expected to see, but it was very matter of fact. We heard the same day that Verona had been captured. The Po was now no longer any obstacle at all.
You hadn't actually fired for the crossing of the Po, had you?
No, we were too far away.
You'd been too far back.
Too far back, yes, that's right.
So the front liners had run away from you.
Yes, it had moved so quickly.
Yes.
I don't know whether armour was in use at this stage. I guess perhaps it was, but certainly there was high mobility among our infantry, and they just... Germans had stopped resisting. They fled across the Po, and there was no problem in reaching it, and I don't think there was much problem in getting across it, because the Germans were already banking on their final line of defence in Italy, which is the Adige, which is somewhere north. We heard this day that partisans had captured several towns and executed Mussolini and his mistress Clara Patacci. We moved at 12:15 midnight on Friday the 27th of April. We took the wrong road, exclamation mark, and went via Ferrara in the full moon to cross the Po near Ferrara, arriving new positions 10 a.m. 28th Saturday. We were already out of range of the Germans, however, even before we get there to our new positions. The Germans have definitely cracked in a big way.
So, at this stage, you were effectively advancing unopposed.
We were simply chasing a disappearing enemy, yes. Pretty solid rain, and we're lucky to have a house. And we all sleep like logs after a night without sleep. The next day, Sunday, the anticipated reconnaissance and move doesn't happen. It's cancelled. The air is full of rumours about German capitulation, offers, for example, by Himmler to Britain and USA. Peaceful day. I refuse during the course of the day, and I've put no details, I refuse the offer of a disarmament job in Austria.
How did that offer get to you?
I've no idea. That's, as I say, I've said no details about it at all, but what I guess, and I can only speculate, is that had I taken such a job, it would have meant being committed to perhaps a further year
in the army,
which I wanted to avoid any commitment of that kind. Padua and Milan are taken, and we now have troops 5 miles from Venice. I think that was probably the 2nd New Zealand Division, I'm not sure. I have a long walk over fields in the evening, very fresh after the rain. I buy a gold watch from Gunner Piper, who's in civilian life is a scout in Oxford College, for 2,200 lira, which is £5.10. I don't ask where he got it.
Do you know what he did with the money?
Oh, they were all piling up money to go and spend in Venice. Of course, we were expecting before long to be in Venice on leave, as indeed happened. And I had that watch for years. He'd obviously taken it off a German POW. Day of utter boredom, Monday the 30th, sitting maintaining vehicles in a field in the rain, watching other troops go forward through us. Hear that Himmler being approached by Swedish Count Bernadotte about peace. Writes of letters.
Were you aware at this time of the unconditional surrender doctrine?
No, we didn't know about that. I mean, I'm not sure how widely known it would be. You mean the fact that unconditional surrender was the only surrender possible?
according to the Allied leaders at Casablanca, yes, they've adopted
The Churchill thing. I don't know whether we knew or not. I don't think it impacted on us. If it had, I think we might have taken a rather dim view of it, in the sense that it could have meant desperate final struggles by Hitler, which we'd rather not have. Although there was a lot of talk at this time, of course, about the German final redoubt and possibly heavy fighting to go on in Austria to capture, to finish off Hitler.
Going on through Austria into Bavaria.
That's right, exactly. The Eagle's Nest and all that stuff.
So that was being discussed in the...
Yes, it was all by way of rumour rather than intelligence fact, but it's more than rumour. I mean, it was fed to us, presumably, via German intelligence, and was indeed probably in Hitler's mind. I mean, it was probably the intention. Things happened too quickly for him eventually. First of May we're at now, and vehicle maintenance, there's nothing worth recording, except that we hear Hitler is dead, capital letters in my diary. 2nd of May, move all morning through partisan-occupied country to a dirty village west of Venice, and it's there that we saw women having their hair cut off for having fraternised with the Germans.
Is that the first time you'd seen old scores being settled and collaborators being attacked?
It's the most vivid time I can see now, these women sitting on ordinary kitchen chairs in the village square having their hair cropped. I thought I'd seen it before somewhere, and I may have done, much further south when the Germans had packed up and the partisans had taken over. But I can't be sure. It may have been a double take of the same incident. I know that our troops got very cross about it, and I don't mean they had to be physically held back. We had to tell them, for God's sake, don't interfere. These partisans are our friends.
What, they objected to what the partisans were doing?
Yes, it was the sort of male reaction to this kind of thing being done to women. We didn't know, of course, what the women had done. All resistance in Italy and half of Austria ceased at 12 noon today. 1 million Germans have surrendered. Thursday the 3rd of May, fine day, the war is over for the 8th Army at last. And the fascist civilians are having a hot time in these parts at the hands of the partisans. We go without delay to Venice. We just cleared off and went there.
What, just unofficially on...
nobody stopped us, and we went. We are entranced by this beautiful nonsense city, gondolas, etc. By a pen. 4th of May, I don't know what the control of us was at this stage. Obviously, we were being let off the leash. An advance party the next day, 4th of May, goes to the foothills, so back...
back to business.
Heading up to back to business. We get everything packed for tomorrow's move. Then I draw lucky and go to Venice again. And I bought a set of cocktail glasses, which are smashed to pieces in the post, sending home to my parents. Vases, silk stockings, riding gondolas. The place is quite unique. Conference at 9 p.m. and the move is delayed for an hour or so. But at 10:30, the 5th of May, we moved off a very long way. I travel and freeze in a Bren carrier, and in mid-afternoon it is hurled off the road by one of my own gunners driving past carelessly for no reason at all, chose to pass us, and his gun caught swaying in the road, caught the carrier, and he pushed us straight off the feet. It was the only place for some miles where the ground at the side of the road was level, and we went into a ploughed field. Otherwise, I'd have been dead.
It would have turned over if you'd gone down embankment.
We should have gone down the embankment. The stupid chap, I've never known why, I've put very lucky not to be killed. It was the only place without a steep embankment. The LAD, what are they?
Light Aid Detachment.
Light Aid Detachment. The Rimi. That's right. Come and put the track back on the carrier and the carrier back on the road. And we press on to the best village of any I've seen in Italy as our battery area. Well, incidentally, I put the gunner on a charge.
Yes, I was going to ask if you took action against
him. Yes, he was put on a charge and got 3 days pay deducted.
Did he say why he decided to overtake?
No, he was, I don't know, I think he's probably half tight, I don't know.
I mean, I would assume that there was a formal drill procedure for moving in road convoy and that you had your place in it. And
exactly. I cannot imagine what came over the chap. It was a mystery at the time, and it still is.
He was driving a quad, presumably.
He was driving a quad with a gun and the limber and then the gun at the back.
Yes.
It was the gun which caught us right just at the side of my shoulder. Now, 6th of May, things were really moving very fast. On a reconnaissance for a gun area to face Tito's partisans in case they won't let us enter Trieste. So we were already way up
in
here.
The far northeast of Italy.
There's Trieste, you see, we're already right round here and looking at the mountains of... Is it Croatia or Slovenia? I'm not
Slovenia.
Sure. Slovenia, Ljubljana.
Yes. The Ljubljana Gap was the main route through the mountains in that area into Austria.
You obviously know your geography intimately. anyway, the country was very wild, hillsides, and we came... rapidly across amazing scenes of red stars on people's shoulders, girl partisans marching and singing in their own language, though this is in fact in Italy.
So they had invaded Italian territory?
They had invaded Italian territory up through the Istrian peninsula westward into Italy. Not a time to be forgotten.
Did you take this prospect seriously? I mean, was it regarded as being a serious possibility that you might be firing on the...
Oh, yes, it was. Mm. It was indeed. It was a tense situation because these were our allies.
Yes.
They were technically our friends. And we settled into this gorgeous village of Campo Longo. And everybody was waiting for an official end of the war. The Germans, on the 7th of May, said they surrendered at 2:41. We carry on working, but there are cheerful and alcoholic scenes in the village where the lights are on in the streets, a very welcome sight.
Who's doing the celebrating in the village? Was it the local population?
It was
the
local population, local population and us. Mm. I mean, by this time, of course, we were... allowed to fraternize. I mean, the Italians had been our allies now for some months. There were no inhibitions of that kind. 8th of May, Churchill speaks to end the war with Germany officially at midnight tonight. Little work. Jack Davidson and I sit and talk French, English, Italian, and even a little bit of German to our hostesses. There's a party in the mess which revolts me with the CO, etc. I don't know why it revolted me, but I went out and sought peace in the garden. I didn't like sort of mass social gatherings of soldiery. High cockalore was not my scene.
Mess games were not... You didn't like the mess games that
they
indulged
right.
in.
Exactly. Mm. I found the whole thing slightly crude. 9th of May was VE Day for Central Mediterranean Forces, and the CO made what I thought was a rather silly speech. We heard, much to our relief, that those with 21 months overseas may be exempted from service in the Far East.
Had that been a prospect that seemed to be looming up?
Oh, very much. It was very much in our minds, the thought of having to go to fight against the Japs when this lot was over.
Do you remember what the CO said in the speech that you thought was silly?
I suppose it was just trite. No, I can't remember at all. No recollection. Quite unmemorable. Went to Trieste with wonderful views from an open car, which was one we had captured. It was a German Mercedes, the first Mercedes I'd ever travelled in. I thought, what a wonderful, quiet, superior vehicle it was to anything that we had, like our Hummer Snipes and so on. Have photo taken with girl partisans, which I've still got somewhere, two massive ladies, each with a rifle either side of me, on the hillside, a hillside outside Trieste.
This sounds rather peculiar, because on the one hand you'd been deploying to fire on Tito's forces, but on the other hand it does seem you were mixing
with
them.
No, we hadn't at this stage been deploying to fire on them. We'd simply met them, we'd simply encountered them. There came a stage not much after this when we had to move. We had to ask them to go back, and we went into the villages on the east side of Trieste and blocked the road so they couldn't. I don't think we were ever in any firing positions against them. This was the time, of course, when I can't remember the detail, but the Morgan Line was being established.
Yes. Zones A and B.
Mm-hmm, that's right. Spend the evening with the men in the troop. I put in brackets, I was the only officer to give them my month's spirit ration to celebrate. Incidentally, one of my troop sergeants, I had found out long before this, had been the president of the union at Nottingham University just before I went there in 1940. He was so good, why he'd taken the commission I don't know. I tried to persuade him he'd have got, of course, direct full lieutenant commission for 3 years stint had he wanted it, but he wanted no more part of the army any more than I did. Sorry, that was a digression. We had a parade on the Thursday, the 10th of May, and I've still got the photograph, for a battery photograph to be taken, and I'd forgotten this, and for military medals to be presented. There must have been two or three chaps who had qualified, had been, what do you call it, cited for military medals, but hadn't received them.
Do you remember who actually handed them out?
I think it must have been the CO. I don't remember any top brass coming. Play with the small children in the house we billeted in. Go to Palmanova and find a printing press to print a regimental magazine, which I sort of edited. Buy various essences, etc., for a victory dinner. Chatter in mix of languages to the villagers and their children, quite charming children who gave me a lovely card, which I've still got, wishing me farewell, kind lieutenant. Prepare for spit and polish inspections. It doesn't take the army long to get back to normal.
Reverting to peacetime.
This is where the regulars began to show their their paces. There is deadlock in the Trieste situation. Sunday the 13th, the officers served victory dinner to the men of the battery, and then go with our hosts to a regimental garden party. That I remember nothing about at all. I guess our hosts must have been the families we were billeted with. Very cool, pleasant among trees, over too quickly. Listened to an excellent speech by Churchill.
Do you remember what that was about?
Well, it must have been the end of the... must have heard it on the radio, presumably, speech to the nation.
At the end of the war in Europe?
The end of the war in Europe. This was the 13th of... of May, that's right. Well, the war ended on the 8th, I think. My birthday, 14th of May, not mentioned in the diary. Terribly hot by now in battle dress. Trieste by no means settled yet. Test of wills between Tito and Alexander. Play with the children until nearly 11:45 p.m. Tuesday, 15th of May, check our stores. Keep indoors much cooler. Officer's shop now in San Giorgio. Don't buy much. Hear that the 21 months of service undertaking about exemption from the Far East is in fact not a binding undertaking. There's all a lot of social life now with the villagers, people making girlfriends and so on. 16th of May, do a dreadful check of the battery signal store, which is a tedious morning. Turns Clauda Coulier. Ernest Bevin, who by now is Minister of Labour, of course he was the wartime Minister of Labour under the coalition government, he announces the release scheme without any mention of the implications for people going to the Far East. The release scheme was the phasing. Everybody was given a number and the releases would take place fortnightly or whatever.
In sequence.
Here that age groups 1 to 11, and they were the oldest people, age groups 1 to 11 are to be released in June. And so it goes on. You began to turn all your thoughts now towards demobilisation and making a career, etc.
How long did you expect to serve? Before you were sent
I thought it would be perhaps another year, and indeed I've noted that on the 17th of May, ponder the possibilities of taking my history finals while still in the army through correspondence. I didn't know whether that would be possible, but you see, I was only 1 year from my final degree when I joined up. Get a parcel from home, arrange books on shelves for the first time since leaving England. We're placed suddenly under orders to move into action on the 19th of May. Go to an officer's dance at RHQ. Good organisation of the officer's dance, an American band, but it falls to my duty lot to entertain the most appalling hag with gold teeth till 1:30 a.m.
How on earth did you manage to get caught
by gold hag? I suppose I was allocated. She must have been a local signora of some standing.
And you were her host?
I was her host, yes. Sunday 20th, go to D Troop camp at Duino to fetch back. Now, why wasn't I in the D Troop camp myself? I don't know.
Had you been moved? You did say earlier on that you'd been made education
things
officer.
Were very, no, but that hadn't happened yet.
That hadn't happened.
I must have been called in by the battery commander. This was battery headquarters. Yes, it was battery headquarters. And I haven't noted how I got back into it, but I was. Command post officer at battery headquarters, technically, although the war was over.
You mentioned that you did deploy for action. Presumably this was at a tense moment in relations with the Yugoslavs.
Yes, this was not called off. We were placed under orders for action on the 19th. 20th, I went to D Troop camp to fetch back a lucky man for LIAP, which was a month's home leave for people with very long spells overseas. They were sent home in sequences for a month. A glorious morning, but on the way, I see Gurkha and Yugoslav sentries, slightly disconcerting, looking as though they're very far from being allies. I haven't said why, but presumably they were not far apart and eyeing each other cautiously. Yes, everybody's moving around, battery command and the troops. I'm to be assistant commander post officer at Battery if we have to go into action. So we were thinking we might have to go back into action. Play chess. Whit Monday, but no bank holiday here on the 21st. Pack up for a move, and then hold a practice defence of this village to the alarm of the inhabitants. I can't remember what form that took. Presumably we deployed our guns and
significant
ourselves.
Places, yes.
Yeah.
What did your soldiers make of all these preparations to go into action against the Yugoslavs?
Well, I think we were all a bit brassed off by it. Having finished the war, we suddenly find ourselves
in a new war,
the possibility of another one, which seemed against our allies. It seemed quite extraordinary. At this stage, I motorcycled to the workshop, Remy workshop, presumably, to collect our guns and led them back in convoy. I'm also made battery education officer at this stage.
Yes.
And Ken Cowan, who was my he's a battery commander at this stage, played his accordion. He was very good at it till midnight.
What did you have to do as battery education officer?
This developed. There was very little at this point because we were not settled enough for education. 22nd May, last day of this comfortable Campolongo village, a lovely place. I'd like to go back there. Pack everything ready for a move. Go to brigade workshops for trailers. Those must have been gun limbers, I suppose. Lot of work. Reconnaissance goes to new area. We say bye-bye to our Materese family, the lovely family with all these children, and receive a lovely bouquet from the children. 23rd May, up at 4:30, move at 6, long march to the middle of nowhere. We have to adopt all-round defence. This is where guerrillas, all-round defence.
Do you know what area you'd moved into, or what direction?
Yes, it was on the
moved.
Border. We moved east and slightly southeast to the lines of approach from Yugoslavia towards Trieste. In essence, we were defending Trieste. I have to go back for guns. This makes a treble journey, and it's very tiring. 24th of May, up at 5 a.m. to find that Tito is blocking our supply routes. So there is an unpleasant day of preparations for battle, guns into action positions, etc. And then to cap it all, out of the blue, I'm suddenly posted away from 64th Regiment to 65th Regiment from tomorrow, having been with the 64th every day since Salerno.
Where were the 65th Regiment at that time?
They were nearby, just a couple of miles away. I'm getting urgent, earnest books on Catholicism from girlfriend at home, who sensed my heresies, I think. Next day I hear that I'm to go to the 65th only for about 10 days to fill a gap.
What gap was that? What did you actually
somebody,
have to do there?
Presumably somebody had gone on LEAP, the month's leave.
Yes.
That sort of thing. I get to know a lot of the people in 65th and drink their beer, but find it's very unsettling. Even within the 65th, I'm posted the same day from F Troop to Battery Headquarters. It's a very unsettling life. Next day, I'm told that my stay will be only 5 days, and then an hour or two later, I'm told I can go back straight away, as the 24th Guards are now in the line and my own regiment needs me back. We were supporting the 24th Guards. Presumably this is Guards, what, 24th, what would that be, Brigade?
It would be the Guards Brigade, yes.
The Guards Brigade, yes. Fed up with moving, but glad to be back among familiar people. Play chess, etc., etc. Go to mass in Gorizia. Pretty place. then out to Campo Longo, our old village, where, welcomed by the children, stay to a lunch of dreadful polenta with them. Put in for a trip to Florence by means of an Aero P flight. In fact, it never happened. Back to the unit, evening walk over the hillsides, rough rocks, etc. Then, Monday the 28th, big shock, postings come through for Eilat and several other ranks, as well as two other officers, to go to the 8th Indian Division.
What does Eilat stand for?